The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
Going back to, I believe it's about 1988, and I went to do a week of shows in London, but this time we did them. It was the second time we were doing a week of shows that year. We did one in the fall, and then that spring we were doing one going into the summer. As a matter of fact, I was going on vacation directly from the show. We did them from Bill Wyman's Sticky Fingers restaurant.
Okay.
And one day, at that time, I still smoked, and I'm outside smoking, and I'm there with my friend Denny, and Denny says, "I think that's Mungo Jerry." I said, "What?" I said, "Mungo Jerry." And I just go, "Mungo." Guy turns around, right? And he goes, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, my God, you're Mungo Jerry." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Look, we're doing a radio show back to the States here in the restaurant. Why don't you come in and talk to us for a bit?" So he comes inside. Now, we had Godwin was there. He was a guitar player. Rick DeFonso from the A's was there because he was rehearsing for the Wall with okay. Roger Waters when they were going to do it in Berlin, right? And so we had some, you know, instruments set up. One of them was a keyboard that had, like, drum sounds on it. And we start to talk to him, and, well, the next thing you know, we're playing Mungo Jerry. We convince him to do the song. And the whole group is going along with it. Everybody in the restaurant.
Are you singing it or I'm listening? Yes. In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's right, you got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find. Oh, I think it's me playing a guitar as well. If a stat is rich, take her out for a meal. If a dad is poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, do a turn or a turn in 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good in a lay-by. We're not great people, we're not dirty, we're not mean. We love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go sailing in the sea. We're always happy, lots we're living here, that's our philosophy. Sing along with us, dee 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 dee. Da 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 da, yeah, we're happy. Da da da, dee da dee dee da dee da da. All right. Da 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 da.
Last one, number then. All right.
When the wind is here, yeah, it's party time. Bring it by the way you rock, cause it'll still be summertime. And we'll sing again. We'll go driving off, baby, we'll settle down. If she's rich, if she's nice, bring your friends and we'll all go into town. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
The John DeBella Podcast. You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
So you can only imagine what the record company was thinking when this happened. All right, it's 1979. Jefferson Starship's in the studio working on a new album, that album, Freedom at Point Zero. And this is a band that had a string of gold and platinum albums as Airplane, as Starship. And then as they get ready to do this album, Grace Slick and Marty Balin decide to leave the band. And so does Mickey Thomas, all right, who's the drummer, all right? They bring in, Johnny Barbeta is the drummer, okay, who also worked with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, all right? They bring in Mickey Thomas, and they bring in Ansley Dunbar as well, and Craig Chiquito is the guy who says, look, we got to get a song together, and, well, here's what Craig said.
That was the first song we came out with after we lost Marty and Grace and our drummer, and the record company's kind of looking at us like, wait a minute, we signed this band, but now they don't have their lead singers and their drummer. What do we really have here? So we got Mickey, and I co-wrote that song with David and Paul and this lyricist that used to work for the Grateful Dead and stuff. It was a real departure for us because it wasn't Miracles. It was like way on the other side of Miracles. And I was so happy when it got the response that it did.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The John DeBella Podcast.
As promised, another 41 and done. Flashback coming your way. And I have to thank Brian Mark for sending this to me. Brian Mark does the sounds of Sinatra nowadays. And he says, here's a picture I took of you with David Gilmour in May of 1984 at the Granite Run Mall. I listen to you every morning as I pack my breakfast and lunch. I figured you'd like this picture for your collection. I thank you very much for that, Brian. And it reminded me of an On the Record that I did some time back. If you never encountered, you probably heard us talking about the On the Record series. It was all the jocks talking about things that happened in their own life that they may not have talked about on the air. And one of them, and you have heard me talk about how dangerous JFK Stadium was, especially going to the press box.
Right.
Well, this is a story about my friendship with David Gilmour that started with this appearance at the Granite Run Mall. Sometime back in the early 80s, I ended up doing a in-store appearance with David Gilmour of Pink Floyd. And out of that appearance, the two of us became fast friends. Whenever he was in town, he would call. We would always get together. If I was in England, I would do the same thing. Well, in 1987, Pink Floyd came to Philadelphia to play JFK Stadium, and I was going to the show. I was backstage before the show, said hi to David, and he introduced me to a couple of the other guys in the band. And then I went off to the press box. Now, at JFK Stadium, if you remember this building, if you were walking around inside, because it was a sort of inside before you got into the stadium, and it was old, and the whole damn building was dangerous as all hell. In order to get to the press box, you had to climb five flights of stairs that were out in the open. They weren't connected to the building. They were literally hung from the roof. At the top of each flight, there was a leveled off area before you got to another set of stairs. Not like you could get off there. You had to keep climbing all five of them. And as you would climb, they would sway. Now, if you were the only one on the steps, it was fine. But as soon as someone else got on them, whether they were in front of you or behind you, that was one of the most dangerous concert facilities in the nation. If you recall, they shut it down after a Grateful Dead concert because the entire building had become so physically corrupt that it was dangerous for anybody to be in it. But I digress from where I was actually going. Now, eventually, I'm at the top of the building. I'm in the press box. It is the absolute top of JFK Stadium. And the show starts and everybody is cheering and it's a great night to watch Pink Floyd outdoors. Now, at some point, there is an intermission in the show, and I'm sitting with the staff from the radio station, and we're all talking about how good the show is, when all of a sudden I hear this announcement, John DeBella, would you please come to the backstage area? John DeBella, please come to the backstage area. I remember it distinctly. That's exactly how it went. So now I got to climb down the dangerous steps, get to the backstage area, where Gilmour says, come here, we've got a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, well, the crowd is pushing up against the front of the stage, and the cops and the fire marshals are afraid that it's going to get dangerous, and we need somebody to go out there and ask them to back up, or they're going to shut the show down. Well, I want to see the rest of the show. I know all of these people want to see the rest of the show, so sure, David, I'll go out there. I'll make that announcement for you. I go walking on stage, and it is pitch black out there. I mean, there are some lights in the stadium, but really, I can't see anything, and now I get hit with one of those Super Trooper spotlights, and I'm blinded completely. I know where the crowd is, I know where the mic is, I know where I am, but for the most part, I can't see beyond the first three or four rows of people. I start to make my announcement, telling the people in the back to back up a little bit so the people in the front aren't getting crushed.
So you thought you might like to go to the show.
And as I say this, some power comes over me that says, step back from the mic for a moment, and then lean back in and make the announcement again. And as I step back, a beer bottle comes flying between me and the microphone. Had I been standing in front of the microphone, I would have gotten that beer bottle directly to the side of the head. Once that happened, I wasn't going to stay. I turned to the microphone and said, have a great night. turned off, went backstage, and hoped that the show would continue. Fortunately enough, it did, and I didn't have a crease in the side of my head.
The John DeBella Podcast.
We came upon a list yesterday of the worst cover songs ever.
Yes.
And the majority of them are classic rock songs. And it's artists, they're all classic rock songs on this list, right? But it's the artists vary. And some of them are rock people. So we pulled out four of them. There were 36 in total on the list. But we pulled out four of them that we think are the worst. And we will start with number one. This is Rob Zombie doing the Ramones' Blitzkrieg Bop.
And I like Rob Zombie. I think his stuff with White Zombie is good.
I do too. And I love the Ramones. Right?
Yeah.
But this, folks.
Does not work.
Listen to this.
Yeah, riding in the backseat, generating speed. People sailing into the backbeat.
He's got all the power, but it's missing the speed.
Well, that it sounds like a Rob Zombie song. That's basically what the speed of their songs are.
Right.
The one thing it has going for it is you can understand the words.
Kinda.
Better than you can with the speed of the Ramones' Blitzkrieg Bop.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. I'll give you that. So if you think this is the worst of the four, you would text 1 to MGK, MGK. That is 645-645. Coming up next is, and folks, I know you're going to be surprised, but we both agree with this, of all of the pairings. I mean, I like, Mick Jagger and David Bowie doing things together. I mean, I think it's always a good idea.
Yes.
But Dancing in the Street was an embarrassment.
To be honest, it's not the song that's the real issue.
Yeah.
It's the horrendous music video of two middle-aged white men bopping around in the street in the dark. One's wearing a trench coat, the other's wearing a teal button-up shirt.
Weird.
It's not good.
No, it's not.
I learned in math, two positives equal a positive.
Right.
I was lied to.
Well, if you think that this is the worst of the four, text 2 to MGK, MGK. So that's 1 for Rob Zombie and Blitzkrieg Bop, 2 for David Bowie and Mick Jagger for Dancing in the Streets, and then comes number 3. I will leave this in your court because this is your most hated song.
Never has a song that I hate been made worse than the song I already hate, and Madonna managed to do that with American Pie. It's terrible.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee where the levee was dry. And good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye. Singing is who we
were saying. That thing in the background, though, the wolf, whatever.
Yeah,
I would rather listen to an hour's worth of Don McLean's American Pie than that.
Than that for its 7 minutes or whatever it might be.
And right, the music video is also terrible.
Yeah, so
weird.
If you think that this is the worst of the four, Madonna's American Pie, text 3 to MGK, MGK. Lastly this morning, I have to say that I don't know what the hell they were thinking. I have no idea what they because, you know, look, you got someone like Madonna or Rob Zombie going into areas that they don't normally play around in. Okay, fine. But U2 really should know better.
Yeah.
If there's any band that should know better, it is U2. And if you haven't heard their version of CCR's Fortunate Son, you are fortunate yourself. This is terrible.
I think one person in the band has heard Fortunate Son before they recorded this, and that's Larry Mullen. That's the only one that actually is sort of sounds like Fortunate Son.
It's like he's singing it all in flats.
It's horrible.
It's just like... All right. While there's number four, U2's a version of Fortunate Son.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
Instant. It's quick, easy.
Instantly.
Right now.
Instant gratification.
Survey says.
All right. Of the four songs as the worst covers of all time in classic rock, we had Rob Zombie and Blitzkrieg Bop, David Bowie and Mick Jagger Dancing in the Street, Madonna's American Pie, and U2's Fortunate Son. And unfortunately for U2, they took 65% of the vote.
Do you have the U2 clip still up there?
Yeah, here it is.
Play it. Let's play that, and then let's play what it's supposed to sound like.
Okay.
I'm telling you, Larry's the only one that's a clue to anywhere near what's supposed to sound like.
This is just the worst. This, and I never heard this before. Why did they do it? You know the story behind it?
I don't know. Why did they put an entire album on the iPhone for people without being...
They thought they were being nice.
Yeah, people were pissed.
The John DeBella Podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.